The reading this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, starting at chapter 1, verse 27, through to chapter 2, verse 11. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whenever I come and see you, or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
One evening a few summers ago at the previous manse I lived in, I was sitting out in the garden watching a group of young starlings flit between the roofs of the houses nearby. And they were almost keeping together as a flock. They were hopping from one roof to another, squabbling and chattering away. And to start with, it all looked a bit random. But then a pattern started to emerge, and I thought that the starlings might be learning to murmur. Learning to murmur isn't learning to grumble, because we don't need to learn to do that, because it comes far too easily to most of us, even starlings. And learning to murmur for a starling is about learning to fly together. And a murmuration of starlings is one of the great wonders of the natural world. And quite near where I lived in Somerset was one of the best places to see it in the UK, the Avalon Marshes on the Somerset Levels, and up to 500,000 starlings used to gather there each winter evening. It's an utterly sort of mesmerising sight if you ever get to see one, especially on that scale. And no one's 100% sure why they do it. There are probably a variety of reasons, but I don't really mind why it happens. I'm just glad it does. But my thought that summer evening when I was sat in the garden was that these young starlings were getting ready to one day join with a big flock like that, learning to murmur together. And the thought has stuck with me from that summer evening. And it's one I'd like us just to take a few minutes this morning to reflect on as we continue to think about what it means to be creation-shaped disciples of Jesus, and in particular explore the idea of how the natural world can help us reflect upon the idea of togetherness as followers of Christ. So how might we learn to murmur as the body of Christ in this place? The first thing we can consider from the togetherness shown by starlings in a murmuration is a unity of identity. It is a murmuration of starlings, like all those collective nouns we thought about. It's not a murmuration of starlings and blackbirds. It's not a murmuration of starlings and sparrows or starlings and penguins. It's a murmuration of starlings. Birds of a feather do flock together, as the saying goes. There's a unity of identity in starlings that make up a murmuration. Starlings are one of the very few species that can do what's needed to coordinate their flight in such a breathtaking manner. And in our reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, Paul is writing to a church who, on the whole, are doing fairly well. But they also need a bit of advice because they're facing a few bumps in the road, a few dissensions, a few arguments. And so Paul's writing to encourage them to keep on going, to tighten up their commitment to one another. And in our reading, Paul writes things such as this: stand firm in one spirit, striving together as for one faith in the gospel. And if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort in his love, if any common sharing in the spirit, if any tenderness, compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. Unity of identity is key for Paul. The Philippians need to know who they are in Christ, because followers of Jesus have a special identity. In other places, Paul writes that all the other distinctions that have separated humanity, such as gender, ethnicity, and nationality, are rendered obsolete in our coming to faith in Jesus. In Christ, there are just followers of Jesus. There is a unity of identity. To use another analogy from nature, which Jesus used, we are all to be sheep of the same flock, guided by one shepherd. As followers of Jesus, we are all birds of the same flock, and we need to be part of this flock, part of the same murmuration. We cannot be followers of Jesus alone. We're not to be wandering albatrosses, alone and isolated as Christians. We're to be a community, interdependent, walking through our life of faith together. You can't have a murmuration with one starling. Pretty pathetic sight. You need a group, and the bigger the group, the better. You can't be a follower of Jesus on your own. You need others around you. You need each other in order to murmur. And our unity comes from our allegiance to Jesus. That's what centers us, our following of Jesus. However tentative that might be, however long-standing, however half-hearted, however small the steps that have begun our journey of faith, however small the beats of a wing that have become our flight, it all starts with us choosing to follow Jesus. And it doesn't take much faith to be a starling in the murmuration of Jesus. The rest of the flock will help you along. It's not a question of conformity to each other, but it's about conformity to Jesus. To be in Christ, this is to be our new identity as followers of Jesus. And this is to replace all other forms of identity as our primary allegiance. We're not primarily to be known as British. We're not primarily to be known as male or female. We're not primarily to be known as Labour or Reform, gay or straight, employed or out of work, left-handed, right-handed, ill or well. We are to be known as in Christ. That is our identity. Our primary marker of identity is a follower of a Jesus. A second aspect of togetherness that we can consider as we learn to murmur is a unity of purpose. When starlings join together in a murmuration, what they produce isn't something random. It starts off with a few starlings, then more and more join as they fly together in a flock. Then more and more and more and more. And then you can get to these groups of hundreds of thousands. And they produce aeronautic displays that the Red Arrows can only dream about. And it's been shown by scientists that each sparrow coordinates with seven others around it in flight to produce their sky dancing. And this whole flock ends up having a unity of purpose as well as having a unity of identity. The starlings do work together in a way that's not fully understood, to do something that's not fully comprehended by us, even though the starlings know fully well what they're doing. And followers of Jesus, we as followers of Jesus, also have a unity of purpose. However, we can understand and comprehend what we are called to do in the name of Jesus. Paul, in our reading again, writes, "Stand firm in one spirit, striving together for one faith in the gospel." And then goes on to write, "If you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort in his love, if any common sharing in the spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one spirit, one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." Jesus, through the Spirit, coordinates his church in works of service for the good of others. We're to have a unity of purpose for the glory of God. This doesn't mean, though, that we're all going to have exactly the same role to fulfill. If you saw a starling, you would see that they are completely iridescent in their plumage. Each starling will look unique. The way that the light reflects off them will make them look distinct. And God's image in us is reflected in a unique way as well. We display different aspects of God's gifting, all different but complementary. Yet when we come together, we will exhibit a unity of purpose if we are following God's calling together. We can be like a polyphonic chorus, where all the voices, which on their own would seem thin and feeble, yet when they're joined together, combine to produce a wonderful harmony. We're going to reflect some more on our uniqueness next week. And this unity of purpose is all about the gospel. Sharing the gospel, growing in the gospel, and living the gospel. And none of these things can be done on our own. We are to share our faith together. The body of Christ is the visible and vocal presence of Jesus within our community. The church is what makes Jesus known. And we're not to be lone voices calling out, but our voices are to join together to be heard over the background interference that the world proclaims, trying to drown out the life-changing message of salvation we're to share. And all our voices are needed to share the good news of Jesus. And we're also to grow and live in our gospel faith together. We are the body of Christ, and our bodies are to grow and live. We are to encourage one another, learn to fly together, to coordinate better, learning more of what it means to be like Jesus, discern more of what the mindset of Christ means for our lives, see what it means for our lives to be less about our own interests and more about the interests of others. See more of what the character of Christ is developing as in our lives. And then encourage each other. A murmuration of starlings has a unity of purpose. And we as the body of Christ are to have a unity of purpose. And the final aspect of togetherness for us to consider is that of protection. There are many mysteries that surround the murmuration, but one thing that it seems to do is help protect the starlings from predators. The murmuration helps protect the starlings from birds of prey, such as the peregrine falcon, one of nature's best designed hunters, by disorientating their senses with the swirling movements of that mass of bodies. In our reading from Philippians, we have these words: stand firm in one spirit, striving together as for one faith in the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now you hear that I still have. In the body of Christ together, we can find protection. What might this protection look like? There's a saying in teamwork that you're only as strong as the weakest member. And there is a truth in that. As a church family, as the body of Christ, as a murmuration, we will only show how strong we are in it, as in how we protect those who are weakest among us. Those who are going through a tough time, illness, bereavement, job insecurity, family pressures, financial issues. They should all be able to find some help, some aid, some support, some protection within the body of Christ. From those who are maybe not going through trials at this particular time. To use a different analogy, we can circle the wagons. Those on the who are the strongest on the outside for a time, protecting those who are on the most who are the most vulnerable on the inside. And you cannot do that on your own. If you only have your own resources to call upon when you're vulnerable, you are left unprotected. But when you are part of something bigger, you can find protection from others. We will need protection as followers of Jesus. And together we can find that. And some of that will come from gathering together as the body of Christ, whether on a Sunday morning or in small groups during the week. Times to encourage, times to share our struggles, times to pray for each other. We need to hear from the Bible to be reassured of the promises of God, which will endure to sustain us rather than the unsatisfying junk food of the world's two-penny wisdom. We need to be praying that the Spirit feeds our souls with truth to drive out the lies that we hear too often. We need to encourage and help each other in this. We are better protected when we gather and built up and then scatter and then gather again. If we become isolated and independent, we can become vulnerable. We need each other to remind ourselves that we need God to protect us in all things. A murmuration of starlings can find protection as they gather together. We, as the body of Christ, can find protection as we gather together. Our reading from Philippians concludes with these words: in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, by being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. It is in the end only in us drawing close to God in Christ, in attitude and living, that we can truly learn to murmur. As we seek to draw close to God in Christ, we will become birds of a feather that flock together, and so learn to be the better body of Christ. Let us pray. Father God, come and teach us how to fly together as your people.